Well, welcome this morning to Hillcrest. Sometimes when we have baptism Sundays, I realize that there are special people out there that maybe have never donned our doors, and I'd like to introduce myself because I don't always look like this. I'm Trina Strode. I'm the children's director here, and I can't bring a message, have a VBS. Honestly, even at my Christmas musical, there was a part of me that thought I really should direct as a penguin, but I was already in a cast, so I thought I had my elements cut out for me at that point. I love to be in costume, to be in theme, and be ready for the five senses that kids need to have to explore and to learn and to just kind of dive into, whether it's our theme or whatever our lesson is. So even this morning when I was getting my spy costume on, I can tell you this much. I don't know that it will last until Wednesday. Can't really stand the wig, and I can't move, and we got a lot of dance moves to do. So when we came in today, I know that you can see the decor, and you can obviously tell that it's VBS. And what better way to really get to know what the kids are going to learn this week than singing with us our very opening song? And I'm only 37, and that can feel very old at times and very young, but it is being a children's director and having to learn this amount of words and dance moves that is keeping my brain spry. And we can't get the back screen, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look right with you on this screen. So as my kids come forward, I want you on this side of the communion table, ready to come up for my children's sermon. Come up to the floor this time, not the stage. Come, and we will sing together. So everybody stand up, get your VBS spy mode on, and let me tell you three things. One, we are going to discover. You want to try this sign? My friends, adults, this is the other thing about Miss Tarina. You are not without subject to my lesson. Discover, decide, we're touching our brains, and defend. And when you do your defend, you got to have a stealthy spy face. Everybody stand up and sing with me. Come up, kids. Thank you, music team.
Just the facts, who Jesus really is. We're on the case to investigate
this awesome mystery. Agency D3, discover, decide, defend. Agency D3, discover, decide, defend. I'm really glad that I'm a real singer. Thank you, you may be seated. That could have been really scary. If anyone else was just hoping for the DVD. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Boys and girls, this also hopefully tells you, Miss Tarina, goes with the flow. Not going to sweat the little backs. Thank you for singing with us. That agency D3 is probably our most challenging. Put your hands on your hips. I literally woke up this morning with my fingers like this. You know what that told me? I don't sleep well VBS week. Call it VBS insomnia every year. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. This is my D3. I have been practicing this move for so long that I was actually sleeping like this. Thinking, I hope I put the right fingers at the right time at the right place. It's stressing me out. Well, this morning, I get to bring to you lesson one because we go Sunday through Wednesday for VBS. When I prayed and thought about this VBS, I pick it out a year in advance. So I've been thinking and shopping and painting and dreaming of what our building could look like if we were to be spy kids. What kid doesn't want to dress up? I know they love it. I have a Charlie, if you've not met my son. Have badges and briefcases and use detective words. And I've been practicing my words like alias and investigate and detective. And those are the easy ones, but I've got other hard ones. They're coming. If you hear me use it in a correct way at any point today or tonight, you touch your nose because you know I know what I'm talking about. Because when we talk about Jesus and all of his names, we're going to use the word alias, because that's what we would use if we were spies in our lab and in our offices. The other thing that I loved about this VBS is we pick one Bible verse, and it is our main focus all day, all night, for the entire week. And my hope and prayer is that our grown-ups would go home thinking about this verse, but not only would we think about it, but by Wednesday, you can recite it for memorization. And I think that's a big challenge in my brain often is to get things memorized. I've got my life verse, I've got key verses, things that I like to say in my breath prayers of things that I've memorized, but I'm not fabulous at it. But I love that this one Bible verse sums up everything that we need to know and to learn so that you can put it in your brain, that it lives in your heart, and it can flow out of your mouth when you need it. That's the purpose of knowing Jesus more closely through scriptures and through his word. So I have it scrolled across our sanctuary, and I literally pre-asked four very tall men in our church to meet me here yesterday to do that part, because even on the top of the ladder, still can't even touch the black. So there's just some things Miss Tarina can't do, and it's hanging anything high. So I'm so thankful for the amazing, I think I had 40 people here working yesterday, and my heart was so full that I literally started 9 a.m. in tears. Thank you so much for coming to help. Because my heart is just so full that our church loves children so much, and we value you so much that they would come and pour their time and energy to make this so. So I want you to see our life, the verse for this week. I'll have it up on the slide. But kiddos, you can look at it as if it's coming across a computer screen. Get it? And it's being scrolled to us all day, every day. And let's learn it together. Everyone read with me. But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So before I can even tell you about our very first story, our big first question, the evidence and the clues that we need to have, I want you to know how special I think this verse is. This verse not only sets the tone for spies and discovering the truth in the Bible, but it's also something we should live by. I love that it says, be ready to give a defense. Has anyone in Sunday school, hopefully not Sunday school, anyone at school, playing at the playground, even our grown-ups out there, has anyone ever questioned your faith and why you do it? You might get questions like, you're missing a baseball game to go to VBS? I'm not encouraging that. I'm very flexible. Come the nights you can. Go to baseball the nights that you can. Okay, hear that. But have you ever made a choice to not go to a birthday party because you had something else going on? Or not going to a game? Or you're talking about your church? We do a lot of exciting things here. Every month there's an event. And if you say, hey, what are you doing today? I'm going to a nursing home to sing to these lovely residents and play bingo. And you got this response? Why would you do that? You're going to spend your Sunday afternoon doing that? You could be playing. What would be your answer? What would be your defense? They're questioning something that you value, something that you want to do. You have to be ready for a defense. Now, the word defense is different than being defensive and using words that would shut down a conversation. You're trying to open up a conversation, and you would say, our church has it planned. We're going to sing Christmas carols. We're going to play bingo and love on people because these residents don't have anyone bringing joy today, so we're going to be their joy. Is that my defense? Did I sound defensive? No, because I don't want to shut down the conversation and say, why aren't you going to the nursing home? Tell me, you want to kind of say that answer sometimes? We don't want to shut it down. We want to open up. As much as we open up our hearts and our minds, we want to open up these doors and say, this is what we value today. This is how we're going to spend our time loving on other people. That's one of my favorite things that I love about Hillcrest is that we truly love others. Giving a defense also can be, why do you believe in God? Why do you get dunked for baptism? That's going to come up. Why do you read the Bible? Why don't you play this Nintendo game or whatever it might be? Your values are different. Jesus lives in your heart. You want to honor him. Those are the answers that we need to have ready at our finger and our toes when it comes to us. Even in second grade, I once was a second grader, I was very bold in my faith. And I literally felt compelled to tell my classmates that I will help you put Jesus in your heart. Just meet me behind the bushes at recess. And they did. And there was a line. And I think to the song, like, don't let your little light hide under a bushel. No, we want to raise that bushel away. I literally prayed in a bush with these kids. I don't know where they are today, but I think about them. I think about the people that want to make that decision. I've had encounters my entire life. I've been a believer my whole life. And I don't think by accident that I'm not put on a spot to make sure I can defend my faith. My next favorite thing in that verse is the word hope. Find the word hope on the wall. The hope that is in you. There's a reason for the hope that is in you. If anything else stands out any more clear in your life, should be that you are filled with the joy of the Lord. If you wake up, my favorite breath prayer is, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it." I promise you, I can't be crabby when I get out of my bed. I'm asking for the joy of the Lord to fill me so that I can be pleasant and joyful around the people I'm going to be with today. They need to see something different. If we don't have the hope of Jesus in us, that we know where we are going to be in eternity, and it's not coming out in our smiles or in our body, they're going to miss it. So I love that part of the scripture too. So when we see the scripture every single night and we're trying to memorize it, it is for a reason. And grownups, I really impress upon you to learn this scripture also. Give the hope and a defense to what it makes us so very different. The only way we can have that hope and that defense is to make Jesus real in our lives. And every night we are going to tackle a question. So today's question is this. I cannot see. Give me your big question hands. We often, when we have a question, our body changes. We want to know. Give me your inquisitive face. You're about to ask me a question. You don't know. Kind of crinkle your eyebrows. And we're going to say, is Jesus really God's son? Can you say that to me? You're really asking me this question. Ready, go. I'm not feeling it. I don't know if I should answer that question today. Maybe the grown-ups need to help. Can you please pose the question for today that we need to find the answer to? Ask me. Bring it on. Well, I'm going to enter into evidence clue number one. That is the Holy Bible. The biggest goal we have to accomplish today and this week is to constantly prove through scriptures the answers that we need to have. This is how we get ready for a defense. This is how we know the answers. This is how we know that Jesus really is God's son. And the only way to discover that today is to go back to when Jesus was the anointed one. And I have a detective here on site who is ready to question our only eyewitness to that event, and that is John the Baptist. Detective, please come forward. Would my eyewitness John the Baptist? Can anyone see John the Baptist in the crowd? Anyone want to point him out? Can somebody point out John the Baptist? There he is. Please take the stand.
Sorry, I was running a little late for my appointment. I got on my 2-hump power mower camel, but 1 hump broke down, so it took me a little longer to get here, so.
All right, state your name for the evidence, please.
John. The Baptist.
Okay. Where were you on the day in question?
Can you expand on your question? Oh, you mean where was I? I believe you're asking that where I was on that day. Well, I was in Judea at the River Jordan.
And what were you doing there?
I was preaching and I was teaching. I was telling people that would listen about the coming Messiah.
What do you mean, Messiah?
The Messiah. Who's the Messiah?
Who is it? Answer.
Shout it out.
Say it. We call that a Sunday school answer. Ready? Jesus.
Listen, I don't know what's so difficult to understand about this. The Messiah. We're talking about the Messiah coming.
Okay, well, how did people respond to your message?
There were some skeptics, sure. But there were so many people that came. They wanted to be forgiven of their sins. They wanted to say they were sorry.
And how did you baptize them?
Well, pretty simply, actually. Simple as this. I lowered them into the water, and I brought them back up.
Well, why do people need to be baptized?
Why do people need to be baptized? Why do people need to be baptized?
What does baptism say? Amos. That's a blessing from the past. He was one of my youth kids. Yes, second generation. Very good.
So I'm not sure where you've been during all this process and not been paying attention, but the baptism is simple. It's about showing that your old life is dead
And you want to live a new life for that Messiah, for Christ.
Okay. Did you also baptize Jesus?
I did. A little unwillingly at first, I'm not going to lie, but I did baptize Jesus, yes.
What did you think when Jesus asked you to baptize him?
Completely unworthy. But he said it was the right thing to do. So we did it.
So what did you do?
Simply put, I baptized him. I'm telling you, you need to use this pen and write some notes. I dropped him. I laid him down into the water and brought him back up. Write that down.
Okay, what happened next?
I don't even know if you'll believe me, but it was like the heavens opened up and this big booming voice said, "This is my son who I am so proud of."
Why did you call Jesus the Lamb of God?
Pretty simple. For years, we've been using a lamb as a sacrifice to say we're sorry. Jesus came to be that lamb, that final sacrifice. What more fitting than to call him the Lamb of God?
Well, I think the evidence is pretty clear. There's some things that I heard that John the Baptist was really concerned with. And in order to understand that, we have to go back to the Old Testament. And I've done this before in some of my messages, but when we look at the Old Testament, it is a foretelling to when Jesus would walk the earth. And he walked this earth that we are on today. People like Pastor Doug and Vicky have been to where Jesus has been. These are not tall tales. These are not fairy tales. These are not imaginative writings. These are truths, and they've been proven. Even in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, originals wrapped up in the Qumran Cave. I think that's amazing proof. Yes. 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 Dead Egyptians. Just never think that's going to fit into your message. There is proof that when the waters parted, those bodies had to go somewhere, didn't they? Yes, we could be excavators to find our evidence, which is a part of the whole mystery. So even the Dead Sea Scrolls prove the scriptures. When we look in the Old Testament, Jesus' footprints, his proof is written all over. His birthplace is mapped out in Micah 5:2. His heritage is in Jeremiah 23:5. His aliases, it's something that you can come back tonight with. My alias is Tarina Tip-Top. I'm the detective head agency here to make sure everything's in tip-top shape all night. So go home and think of what your alias is going to be when you're a detective here this evening. His aliases were Messiah, Anointed One, God with us. He had many names. What do you say? What do you call him? The Lamb of God. Holy Spirit. You say, "Dear Jesus, dear God." Think of all these names, and he answers to them. In Isaiah 42:1, it says, "Look at my servant who I'm strengthened. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations." So if we were in biblical times, the Old Testament, this Isaiah passage is foretelling Jesus is coming. We know that it's found in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when he walked the earth in his ministry. Today is about baptism. Tonight's about feeding of the 5,000, where we're going to see the miracles that he got to do. What more could we need than to be next to Jesus and watch him turn a simple loaf, a simple fish, and feed 5,000 people? That is something only God could do through Jesus. The Bible is our most important evidence, and I've put my evidence file there. And even in there, we see that Jesus and John were born around the same time, and they grew up together like two pals. John the Baptist and Jesus. At 8 days old, John's father said this. This is in Luke 1:76. "And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord." Now pretend you're 8 days old. How little are you? Even then, John's father had to know what the Old Testament was calling his family to do. For his father to put the commission on this little boy. Do you think John the Baptist grew up his whole life knowing that this day was going to come? Yes. Absolutely. When you put Jesus in your heart, when you do the waters of baptism, when you have a special event, do your parents talk about those events over and over and over? They're important. It's the number one thing you can do if a child gets baptized is talk about their baptism, how they made that decision, what they did, the day that it happened, how that felt. They are going to be your age. How many of you remember the motions of your baptism day? If you don't talk about it, if you don't be in conversation with your family about these special events, I guarantee you John the Baptist's father was in conversation about the importance of his life. He knew from a very young age he was going to do something amazing. And John the Baptist seriously felt insecure and humbled and unsure that he could make that decision, that he could be at the Jordan River and have Jesus come and say, even on that spot, he heard his whole life, this is what I'm supposed to do. And he said, I just don't know if I can do it. I can't baptize Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Imagine if you got to baptize Jesus. Oh my. It was a big job, but he needed to do it. He needed to play out the scriptures and the stories the way that God had intended it to be. He was the expert witness for Jesus. And when John the Baptist dunked him in the water and brought him back up, God's voice came through the Holy Spirit and audibly said to everyone in the crowd, so you are the baptism crowd, this is my son. Can you say that really bold? This is my son. I take delight in him. Say it with me. I take delight in him. That was the proof. His voice came out. Jesus and John the Baptist knew that they were doing exactly what they were called to do. So that at that moment forward, Jesus' journey could continue. He could continue to teach. And Jesus needed his buddies. Who were his buddies? They were called the disciples. He needed his buddies. By the time we end on Wednesday, we're going to be into the life of Peter. After Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice of dying on the cross, was risen again, another proof that we need to uncover this week. After he was risen from the dead, he proved to the even more naysayers, Peter had to continue that message, or we would not be here today with the scriptures. We would not be here living and breathing and knowing them to be truth. At Hillcrest, we're a Baptist church. We baptize. We dunk, and you got to see that today. That's why Fifth Sundays are so special and important to us, that we get to come and be a part of Big Church, and I get to bring the message so that you can see the waters of baptism. You're going to have naysayers. Why are you getting dunked? I get sprinkled. It goes back to the word of the defense. Do we defend it defensively? We just have to know our answer. You get sprinkled. Well, tell me about that. Opens up the conversation. We get dunked under the waters of baptism. I read the story about John the Baptist. Have you heard about John the Baptist? John the Baptist baptized Jesus. I've just given you the words for the defense that you need when somebody asks you. We have to keep filling our cup and keep filling our brain so that we're ready on the spot. I can't tell you how many times you just are minding your own business and that question comes and you have to be ready with an answer. And guess what happens? If you don't have an answer, what can you do? Man, you could just be my little miniature sermon person. You just need to pray. When I feel like I have no words, no defense, nothing for the naysayers, I'm caught off guard, I need think time, God has provided my answer. God has given me the answers that I need. Keep a joyful spirit. Keep the hope that is in you so that others want to know what is so different about you. And the biggest way you can include them, invite them tonight. This is about ourselves and it's about others. VBS is for everybody. Go invite your neighbors at the last minute. I welcome everybody. I even believe many, many, many years, my crafts, more will appear. My paperwork, more will appear. The more the merrier we are here to serve and to love on you and to give you a safe place to invite your friends and be a part of it. Another way that we're going to be a part this week, after we finish all of our evidence. So on John the Baptist, did we have the evidence for our summation? Summation, big word. That's our conclusion. Can we say that John the Baptist told us who Jesus really is? Do you have the answers? Are we getting sleepy? Do you have the answers? Yes. Where do we find them?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. What is the absolute proof that we see that John the Baptist told us who Jesus really is? Bingo. Our proof is right there. God's voice came out through the Holy Spirit and told us, this is my son. I take delight in him. Absolutely. Every night you come, we're going to find our proof. We're going to find our proof with all of our stories. I encourage our grown-ups to be a part of this truth. There is a very special call on your life for any adult who is encountering children. That is that you know the truth, that you live it to your very best, because they are watching you. They watch you when you interact with grocery store clerks. They watch you when you are at baseball games, basketball games. What you say in a heated moment to what you say on a peaceful walk. What you do counts for them. They need to see the love of Jesus in your life lived out every day. And our job is to just partner with you to do our very best to provide that truth. So I encourage you to be a part of these scriptures, to also learn this memory verse, to figure out these five questions and know where they are in our scriptures so that we can give a defense for the hope that is in us. One more element that I'm going to send you back with today is every year I pray about how we can tithe ourselves to something special, and sometimes it's to faraway lands. A couple years ago, we did Malaria No More and sent it to our village in Sudan that we support. Last year, we collected money and donations, and I was able to decorate a little boy reading corner and a little girl reading corner for a church on the mission field that my husband and I brought a group to on Pine Ridge. And this year, I think and pray about this all year long, because that's how long I've had it picked out. I decided that we need to love on our community helpers. Our firefighters and police officers have a very big job, and I would love for us to love on them. And I have a firefighter friend and a police officer friend coming on Wednesday, and these are their offering buckets. And not only will you make a card where this scripture verse is written on there, because we're going to be their hope. They might not know Jesus, but we get to proclaim it boldly because we're Hillcrest Church. So this verse will be on their card, and you're going to write something encouraging on there. But you also can tithe to them, and we're going to provide some sort of wonderful meal. Those firefighters live in-house overnight when they're on their duties. But there's another way that you can give of yourself in tithe and offering this week, and that's by being secret spies. So let me show you this. When we are done this morning after I pray, you can come take a little packet. I've just got some cute spy things and Scooby-Doo snacks, our original spy friend. We need to have Scooby-Doo. So I have a word find with all the important verses, words that are in our verse. But this is called to join the Secret Service for a day, Mission Possible. Get it? Instead of Mission Impossible. Every day, I want you to think of yourself as a secret spy of helping other people. And in your briefcases tonight, when you come, you're going to get a little card with all these choices. Wash dishes, sweep floor, deliver a treat to someone. You're going to put that on your card, draw a picture, and you get to offer it to our offering plate and tell me what you did to be of service to somebody else. And every day, I encourage you to do it, every day. And then you leave behind a little badge that says, I was your Secret Service agent today. Could be a neighbor, could be someone who's lonely. It could even be buying a coffee for somebody when you're out and about, or an ice cream cone if it's a hot day. So you get to give of yourself in a way that your parents don't even have to help you. It's your choice. I would talk to God every day and say, how can I be of service to someone today? Straighten, do the dishes because my mom didn't even ask. That would be awesome. And then you can also do some sort of chore to ask for the money. I never tell the kids to go home and say, give me money for offering. They should earn the money and then choose to give it back for their tithe as a part of our VBS. So I'm going to pray for us, and I would ask that all of my grown-ups be in prayer for our VBS this week. It's a big week. It takes a lot of time, energy, and money. And the most important thing in these 4 days is that they come to a safe place to learn more about God. And that's all we have to accomplish. Pray for my leaders that we'd be able to meet them on their toes, filled with energy, filled with love, that they would truly feel like this space is a space for them. So I'd ask for you to be in prayer with us as we're on this ministry week. And I'm going to pray for you and the friends that you should invite, and that you'd be able to come, and that we would be ready for a defense for the hope that is in us. So pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you and praise you for an opportunity to be in your word. We thank you that your Bible is filled with our proof, that it is all we need, and that we just have to take the time to be good stewards and good learners of your scriptures and get it into our brain so that we could be ready for a defense. Lord, I pray that this 1 Peter verse would just soak into our hearts, that we would be reminded every day that the more we study you, the more ready we are to tell others about you. I pray that they would have encounters in their little lives, that they could share the hope and the joy that's in them, that our little light would be lit and that the bushel would not hide it, that we would look different and act different because we have the love of you in our hearts. I pray for those that don't know you in a personal way, that I would have an opportunity to pray with them this week, that we would be thinking about them and that they would have a heart nudge. And for those that are thinking about baptisms and making a proclamation in a public way that they love the Lord, that they would take part in that also. Lord, we ask for protection on this place, that your spirit would be present. In Jesus' name, amen. So quietly meet me over here for your packet and tiptoe back to your chairs.
Let's give our kids and Miss Trina a hand. Well, and the culmination of our Sunday today is going to end with communion. And to kind of keep with the kids' theme, it was suggested that we use Doritos and Mountain Dew. We decided not to do that. But I'd like to invite our servers to come up at this time. Communion is a great time of celebration for the church as well, as we remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here at Hillcrest, we practice open communion, meaning anybody that is here that believes in Jesus can take communion. You don't have to be a member or an attender, regular attender here. You can just take communion. Communion is symbolic. There's nothing supernatural that happens here. If you've never taken communion, you've never seen communion before, what's going to happen is there's going to be a little piece of bread that will be passed out to you, and you'll just hang on to that, and then we'll take that together, and then a little cup will be passed out as well. Some churches use wine for communion. We don't. We just use grape juice, so it's still grapes crushed, just without the kick, and that's how we do it here at Hillcrest. And so you don't need to be worried about what's here that may be alcoholic. Also, if you have children, they are welcome to take communion as well. It's just up to you as a parent, whether they're ready or not. That's your determination to make, and then to help them through that. But the elements will be passed out one at a time. You'll hang on to them, and we'll take them together. When it comes to communion, a lot of people are maybe a little bit confused on, you know, what is this and why do you do it? Why do you call it the Lord's Supper or communion or the Last Supper? The communion that is celebrated in churches all across the world and has been for centuries is a result of a type of meal that was celebrated by the Jewish people one time a year called the Passover meal. The Passover meal was celebrated by Jewish people remembering the Passover time, the time that Jesus brought the people out of Egypt, out of the exile of Egypt, and into the Promised Land. And so this was such a big deal for them because 400 years they were in Egypt, many of those years in slavery, and God brought them out through the plagues. Remember the 10 plagues, the frogs and the gnats and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they celebrated this. So every year, the meal wasn't just like mom threw everything on the table and everybody sat down and ate. Each part of the meal, special prayers were said, special things were said. The elements themselves, the things that you ate, were very specific, very direct. In fact, as it started, there would be a candle lighting ceremony that the mother did, and there would be a prayer and some things that were recited with that. And then they would move on to a cup that was shared, and the first cup was a cup of sanctification. And later on, another cup was shared, and that was the it wasn't the cup of blessing, whatever it was. There was another one that they shared as well. The second cup. It'll come to me eventually. But nonetheless, they would share these different pieces. And one of them was the bread. And so they took a piece of bread, and it was inside a pouch, much like I have here. It's a three-pocketed pouch. And the centerpiece they would pull out. And they would break this piece of bread, and it was called the afikomen. Not the whole piece of bread. Just this piece. Or was it this piece? It was only half. But it was the half that they took, and the father would do this. He would break the piece of bread, and then he would get a white cloth, and he would wrap the piece in a white cloth, and then the father would, or someone would go hide it somewhere. This is the afikomen. And they hid it somewhere around the house, and then as the meal continued on, they would start to actually eat the meal that was provided, all the different elements, and they spoke about the herbs, the bitter herbs that they ate, and they talked about how the tears of the people and the bitterness of their slavery. They would go through the whole process, and then finally, when the meal itself was over, the father would say, "It's time to find the afikomen," and the kids went nuts. They go search all over the house looking for this wrapped up piece of bread. And whoever found it brought it back to the father and got a reward, sometimes a cash reward or a piece of candy or some treat of some sort. Apparently in Jewish families today, the going rate is $5 for an afikomen. So a kid brings it back to dad, he gets $5. Then what the dad did is he would unwrap the afikomen and he would break it into little pieces, and everybody would eat one little piece of the afikomen. And it was believed, kind of tradition, that if you ate a piece of the afikomen, you would have good health and prosperity for the next year. So it was a very important part of their celebration. The Last Supper was Passover. And Jesus did all the same things. There would have had to have been a woman there to light the candles. I mean, you can't even have the Passover without a woman there. I know we just think of Michelangelo's painting, and yes, wonderful painting, but does not at all represent what was taking place that night at the Passover. There would have been children present, all kinds of people, not just the disciples. This would have been a gathering, a family gathering. If the disciples had families, they would have been there a part of it. This would have been a packed house. And Jesus, being kind of the head of this household, would have performed the Passover meal. And he would have broken the piece of bread and wrapped the piece that was the afikoman. Jesus himself, most likely, tradition, would have had him hiding it in the house. And you just see his kind of sense of humor as he decided where to stuff this thing. And then finally, when the meal was over and all the elements were eaten, Jesus said, time to go find the afikoman. And the kids went nuts going to find this thing. I don't know what the reward was that they got when they brought it back to Jesus, but some trinket of some sort. But here's where things took a strange turn on that Passover meal that they'd been doing for thousands of years as a Jewish people. He got the afikoman back, and he unwrapped it from the cloth, and he held it up, and as he broke it, the pieces off of the afikoman, he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you." To that point, the Jewish people never understood the afikoman. Tradition, you read tradition, they do not know why they broke it, why they wrapped it in a white cloth, why they hid it away, why they went to go find it, and then why they'd break it in pieces and eat it. It was just part of their tradition, and you don't ask questions about tradition, you just do tradition. Do you see the symbolism? Jesus' body broken, wrapped in a linen cloth, put away in the tomb for 3 days, and then whoever finds Jesus, that salvation, is the great reward that they have. Jesus said, this afikoman, this symbolism is me, and it's my body which is broken for you. And as he broke that bread, he asked God's thanks for it. And I'm going to ask that Burke would pray for our bread today. Next, Jesus took the cup. This was the third cup in the Passover meal. The first one, remember that one that was? Cup of sanctification. No, the second one was the cup of whatever. Second one actually came to me was the cup of plagues, and that was their remembrance of the 10 plagues. Then they would have the meal, and then at the close of the meal they had the afikoman, and then after the afikoman came the third cup. The third cup was a very, very significant cup that they would share, because the third cup was called the cup of redemption. This was the cup that they would share, that they would remember that God had redeemed them, that he had brought them out of Egypt, that he had saved them, that they were a people in need of redemption. The thing that they would talk about most specifically with this cup is they would talk about the lamb, how God had provided an animal sacrifice, a lamb, that your sins could be placed on, and then the animal would lose its life, and you would be then set free of your sin. And so this was this redemption that was needed. And they talked about how God redeemed his people and how the people were in need of a redeemer. So as they did this traditional meal, they were already shocked because just moments before, Jesus took the afikoman and said, "It's my body." And if that wasn't enough, Jesus took the cup of redemption. And he said, "This is the new covenant between God and his people. It is my blood shed for your sins. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me." And Jesus took that cup and he asked God's blessing over it. He said, "This is the new covenant between God and his people. It is my blood that's been poured out for your sins. And as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us and the love that was displayed and that we remember through these elements of communion, that your body was broken for us, and that your blood is that new covenant, a covenant of love, a covenant of grace, a covenant of forgiveness. We're thankful that salvation has been offered to us, though there's nothing we can do to earn it. And we ask that you would help us to live out the love that you have for us to others, and that it would be done through deed, but also through our words. that we would not be ashamed of who you are and what you've done in our lives, but that we would be willing to share it with others, and that your love would be displayed through the way that we treat those around us, our family and our friends, our neighbors, and those we come in contact with. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. To close our service, I'm going to ask our servers to stay up here. Any other elders or ministry staff to come on up. And Linda, why don't you come on up? Linda Laporte was baptized at the beginning of the service, and we'd like to pray for her today. And we've got a little certificate here that you can kind of remember this day. Awesome. Let's pray for Linda. Father God, we thank you for Linda. We thank you for her love for you, her decision to follow you, and her public statement that she made today through the waters of baptism. Lord, we pray that as she goes from this place, that your love go with her. And as the challenges of life come, that she will turn to you, that she will always remember that you are her Savior, you are her Redeemer, and you're the one that loves her more than anyone else can, and that you know her intimately, and you care for her, and you watch over her. Father God, we are thankful for this love. We're thankful for Linda, for her friendship, being here at Hillcrest, and being able to celebrate this great day with her. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, Linda. Well, we hope that you had a great day today. It's going to be a lot of fun around here the next few days. We invite you to be a part of it, certainly with your kids, but also as a volunteer, we'd love to have you here to be a part of this as well. Next week, we start a brand new series kind of based off of this. It's our spy series, in which we're going to be looking at different spies throughout the scriptures. A lot of fun stories there. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.